Mum's book is out in a week in the US. She's had over 20 million views on Instagram, which is nuts. I worked out if 20 million people spent 2 minutes with Mum, probably unlikely, that equaled 74 years, which is 2 years longer than Mum lived. So already Mum's been given a second life through just statistically. I know it's kind of numbers that really don't mean nothing. But yeah, that's kind of fun to think about it like that. Yeah, and also Mum's book on Amazon US has been charting like in the 10,000s against other books by other authors who have 10 times the amount of social media followers than I have, sometimes 20 times, and alongside those poetry books and stuff. So Mum's really working quite hard. Which is kind of nuts. It's a nuts. I know it's not, art isn't a competition and it can't be ranked and all that sort of stuff, but I still find that kind of fascinating as well. Bringing numbers into art never makes sense. I've always thought that money made from art is magic and needs to be laundered by the tooth fairy before you pay your bills with it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to just not going on about Mum's book a bit. So I know that I just have to until it's done, but also there'll be a weird sadness when it goes into the world and it's like, oh, I've got nothing left to, it's out of my hands. Mum's now belongs to other people, which is kind of fun. And then I'll just, move on to writing other stuff. Yeah, recently I haven't felt in the mood to write at all because I've been trying to sort out the next year in my head. It's funny, as an artist, my whole life I've tethered my harness, my saddle to art and let it decide how my life goes. And I feel like I've missed out on a lot in life, but I've also wouldn't have wanted to do it any other way. I felt like I just had to trust in the art spirit and follow it, let it lead me. And all of a sudden, Mum's book and the new one as well, which comes out next year, two new ones, is kind of opening up a strange horizon. I can feel it. There's a future to be had. I've always been wary of buying into the idea of a future when everything's trying so hard to sell you the past and the future. Banks sell your future to you, psychologists your past, until you don't own any of nothing. I do feel this sense that there's this possibility and a future that's opening up. And my whole life, I've just made art during the day. I've always thought today's for people with art, tomorrow's for people with plans. And so now I'm starting to go, oh, there's a tomorrow exists. And there's a week after that exists. Most people I've known have got their holiday houses and make 2 week plans from now. I always felt like adulthood exists 2 weeks from now in the future. It's like a gated community of people with proper responsibilities, and artists just mucking around in the shallow end of life, just trying to get through a day and into the night. It's all of a sudden this future's opening up that I can feel with the books. I'm actually a little bit scared about it. Because I've always just existed through the day, got to the night, made some art, was creative. At the moment, I'm not feeling creative, so I'm just writing down just any idea, one idea a day. Doesn't matter, even if it takes me an hour or two, just one idea. Put it on my little Word document and just keep going, and just trying to get through the day and into the night. The days don't feel like little jail cells anymore with this idea of a future now existing. So I've been trying to write down, what do I want? What do I want in the future? I've never tried to control it, and I felt stupid for not having planned anything. Like, in job interviews where people go, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I always made up some bullshit. I didn't know what I was doing the next day. I had no idea. I'm excited and a bit scared that now that the books will buy me this strange strange idea of a future that never existed before, even though I'm 49 years old. And that's, yeah, I don't know why I'm scared about it. It's kind of exciting because I've talked about in the past how books can be like a passport to others' hearts, others' worlds, or a whole just world, the world in general. Now I do have my passport now, my actual passport to travel, and my two books that I'll just throwing into the ether and see where they lead. Some other stuff that I was doing this week was just trying to write down thoughts about how all this happened. Like I'm post-rationalizing. How did this all suddenly happen? It wasn't sudden, of course. It was 30 something years, but I was thinking, Reese, I haven't articulated it properly anywhere yet. Maybe on a Substack post, but I was saying something like, as soon as I gave my sleeping dreams more respect than waking reality, that's when everything started changing, because sleeping dreams are the true source of story. And as soon as I respected them more than waking reality was like, hey, come back. We'll bribe you with fake riches and fake possibility of a future. And so I feel like, yeah, after turning my back on reality in some sense, not completely, of course I'm still paying bills and rent and whatever, I felt like the reality wanted me back. And I caught myself even saying, when I was walking down the street not long ago, I was going, oh, I belong to this world. I've never felt like I belong to this world. And so it's weird. Sometimes I catch myself saying stuff to myself aloud sometimes, and the ears go, did you just say that, Darby? And yeah, saying that I belong to this world and out of the blue, it's like, what? Where'd that come from? But then I've been thinking about all this stuff about the books and writing stories and turning my back on reality to embrace my sleeping dreams, and then going, no, but I belong in both worlds. I don't have to exist in just this world of imagination constantly, which just needs one day and not some kind of reality future. But yeah, I was writing down all these things. What had this happen? And that was one of the things about how I embraced dreams to the point reality wanted me back and said, no, here, come back, Darby. I was also thinking how when I was writing these last two books, how I just ignored all pop psychology and pop therapy references. I kind of feel like everyone under 45, any novel that I've read or book under 45, references self-help, therapy, modern psychology. And I feel like the heart is ancient and hasn't had any updates. And so you've got to start from that, not some newfangled way of describing stuff that's existed forever. It's the reason why some books are still around hundreds of years later. Didn't matter that they weren't charting modern therapy and psychology terms. Like, yeah, a lot of the authors I've read under 45, it all sounds like recycled therapy notes. They're not drawing from... They're drawing from an experience through a weird lens and forgetting that they're an actual person existing in the world. Maybe that's arrogant. Maybe that's pretentious. Maybe I'm just being a complete idiot, but that's how I feel. And I feel like, yeah, as soon as you say stuff that's not of its time, but it's something that's ancient and true, it resonates more and it punches through a page. Like those books will be around for another 10 years and they'll disappear as soon as whatever psychology or therapy stuff has been found out to be actually detrimental to whatever. That happens all the time. You see the 20-year cycles of fashion. The concepts, a lot of concepts are just pure fashion and disappear 20 years later and are found out to be the worst thing to do. So yeah, I find it interesting people mapping their hearts through that lens rather than just drawing straight from the source of our ancient, unupdated hearts. I'm going to call it quits for the day. And yeah, if you'd like to leave a review on Spotify or Apple or a comment on YouTube, I'd love it.